What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Have you ever experienced negative self-talk? Research shows that 80% of self-talk is negative. It can be quite damaging as a dentist. Well, today I have two amazing dentists on to talk about that phenomenon and what to do about it. I have Dr. Charlie Ward and Dr. Rachel Ward, no relation, and they talk about the impact of negative self-talk and what to do about it as a dentist. Please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. I have the coolest job in the world. I get to interview the coolest people in dentistry. And what's really fun is they get to share some great stuff, some great thoughts, so you can create a better practice and a better life. And I got a special episode for you today. I have one of our regular recurring guests, Dr. Charlie Ward, who's been a great friend, a great thinker on the podcast, and he's bringing on a new friend. So Charlie, why don't you introduce our new friend today?
Yeah, I will. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks for having me back. I brought my friend, Rachel Ward, no relation to me that we have found yet. We've looked. And we teach a couple courses together at the Pange Institute. We've been friends for many years now. And we were talking about coming on the podcast and having a discussion because Rachel and I, and a close friend of ours that you know, Kirk, Chris Mazzola, we have a text group together. And really, it's close friends building each other up is really what it's turned into. It's how we support each other and eliminate some of that self-talk. So when Rachel, so when Rachel and I were having a conversation about what we're going to discuss today, that was the first thing that came up because we've all dealt with that, I would assume. And especially in dentistry, seeing the work that is on social media, that is in our faces, that's at lectures, it's easy to get down on yourself about what you're doing and feel inadequate. And we wanted to have a conversation about that.
Let's do it. I think it's important because we have so many listeners. Rachel, who tell us a little bit about you, because I want people to know, you know, who you are, where you practice, a little bit about you personally, too.
Yeah, for sure. So again, Rachel Ward, no relation to Charlie. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm married to my husband, Dan, who's also a dentist. He's an orthodontist here in the area. We both own our own practices and we have 5 kids ranging from 2 to 11. So we're in it. So we're doing all the things, driving kids places, trying to run our offices and just kind of survive each day.
Yeah. And you don't just own a practice. You guys went through the Pankey Scholar program together, correct? Which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. I've been honored enough to do some teaching down there. I went through the scholar program. And I think whenever you're around other excellent dentists, it's great because it inspires you to be better. And then at the same time, you start looking at your work that you see every day and kind of questioning, you know, what you do. So I love CE. I love learning. I love following different webinars online. And it's made me a better dentist. But then the other side of that coin is when I go back in my practice every day, and if I don't do something perfect or don't do it to the level that I think it should be or the picture that I saw on Instagram, it causes me to question myself and wonder, you know, do I deserve this? Am I worth it? Am I doing, you know, the best that I can do? And so that's where definitely having friends and having a support group of people that, you know, love you and will be honest with you, or you can send them something and they can be like, yeah, you know, you could have done this better, but that looks great. Like, that looks fantastic. I'm sure the patient was very happy with that. So that's where a lot of this stemmed from, is just our everyday organic conversations of doing real life dentistry every day and dealing with these situations of wanting to be the best that we can. And then what does that look like? We're not going to be perfect every day. Like, that's not reality.
Yeah, I love that. Charlie, take us back to the origin of the story and the conversation that started all this.
Yeah, you know, I think back to, honestly, I think it was before Rachel and I even met, and a friend of ours, Mark Clive, who's a dentist in North Carolina. You probably know Mark. He, again, is a faculty at the Pankey Institute. And I was interacting with him, and I don't even remember what we were discussing. It was something about a case or something I was doing. And I made a comment about something not being good enough or something to that nature. And he stopped and he looked right at me and he's like, Charlie, if you say that enough, you're going to start believing it. And I was like, that you know what you're talking about. And it stuck with me for a long, it's still with me. And it took years, honestly, to get to a point where, like Rachel said, I feel like I'm good enough to be in the room with other people that I think are excellent. Because there's a lot, we can have an hour on imposter syndrome and that piece of it, because that was a discussion Rachel and I have had in the past and continue to have, that how do we feel worthy of any praise when we're consistent and lifelong learners who are constantly exposed to things that push us forward, right? Everything you look back on, I'm like, I don't like anything that I've done, you know, because I'm trying to get better. And it's hard when everything you look at, you're critical of. It took a long time. So this is our constant conversation. It's, we have a close enough relationship, Rachel and I, and Chris included, that we can share successes and failures with each other in the most supportive and critical way, and not feel inadequate. Right. I think turning that around, to use those feelings as positive or as motivation to say, you know what, this was good enough and I can still be better. I think that was the shift for me through Pankey Scholar and that environment, that, hey, I'm good enough to show my stuff with anyone. Like, I feel I'm confident in that now. I was not confident in that before. But through that process, it motivates me to say, okay, if at this point I'm worthy of it, now I have to continue to prove that I'm worthy of it.
Right.
And that turned into a positive motivation rather than a criticism.
Right. Rachel, give us your thoughts on all that and your journey with this.
Yeah. So it's so interesting, because when you look at a lot of like dentists and our personalities, you know, you have the type A personality that wants to, you know, get the A on the test or do a great job. And I think for me, a lot of it even started like playing sports growing up and like earning your spot on the team and like knowing that you're good enough and then applying to dental school and getting in. And then you go to dental school and it's like, you want to get an A on that exam. You want your professors to know what you're doing. And then you get out and you're proving yourself to patients. You're proving yourself to other dentists. And I felt like I was in this journey or this concept of just proving like, I'm worth it. Like, I'm worthy to be here. I have something to offer. So I think that's where it really comes from, is I want to add value to people's lives. I want to add value to my patients' lives and my team lives. But then in the back of my head, it's, you know, it's this little talk that's going like, are you doing good enough? Are you doing enough? Right. Is this really the best that you can do? And, you know, I don't think I'm alone in that. It's a very common thing when I talk to other dentists, and just having an avenue of like, other people are doing this too. It's so easy to think that you're the only one. Like, you know, I look at Charlie and his work and he puts it up there and I'm like, okay, like, you're kidding me. Like, there's no, like, you know, that's awesome. Like, that's crazy. Like, you probably like came out of the womb doing dentistry this well. But then and he's like, no, like, it's a journey. He's like, you know, you are me just a few years back. He's like, you're going to get there eventually. So just giving yourself grace in that journey of you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. That being said, that's you like the reality of how hard that is. Like, speak to that. Like, easier said than done. I'll give you a little bit of my journey. When you go to some of these things, you're like, whoa, your first thought is, oh my gosh, that's the guy. Like, I've seen him on, and then you start to see some, or that's the woman, and you see, wow, look at that. And you're like, oh my gosh. I'll also give you another story. This is one of my favorites. So Mike Fling introduced me to a guy by the name of Bill Lockhart. And I actually went to his house, and he was a Panky. He was a cadre member. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually going through his house. And he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, Kirk, perfection is actually deadly. And I'm like, really? He's like, it's not even attainable. He said, I think excellence is a good goal. Perfection was God's job. Excellence was my job. There were days where it was perfect, but it wasn't my doing. It's just like the materials came together. The tissue was perfect. Like, I didn't have anything to do with that. It's like, I just thought if I could be at my best, then if the best happened. And I thought that was pretty, it was pretty amazing to hear from a guy that had done dentistry that long. And he said, yet it's so hard to understand that concept, even after like 40 years of doing dentistry. You know, would you agree?
Oh, totally. And I think the first thing is just recognizing that too, and just knowing that you are not your thoughts. Like, just because you have that thought in your head, it doesn't define who you are. Right. Everyone's going to have negative self-thoughts that come up or negative feelings that come up. But are you going to dwell on that thought and let it define you? Or are you going to keep working and push back, like push against that and lean on people around you to know that that does not define who you are? Like, one bad day in your office, we all have bad days. That doesn't mean you're a bad dentist. You know, we tend to forget about the 50 other good ones, you know, the patients that had a great experience, like gave us a hug and like, you know, told us about their smile at their kid's wedding. But instead we're thinking of like the distolingual margin on that crown prep on number 15. So I think realizing that just because you have that thought, it doesn't mean that's who you are.
Right. And two things come to mind. Like, we talk about this internally. Self-talk is really actually quite toxic. There's research that shows that 80% of self-talk is negative. Like, none of us walk around and go, yeah, I'm pretty good. Like, I feel really great about myself. Like, I'm a good husband today. And you're always like, oh man, you tell yourself a bad story. So I always say, don't talk to yourself. And I'm leading you with this because I want to know how the group chat came together and how does that play in kind of the countermeasure for the self-talk.
Yeah. I don't remember how, do you remember how it came together?
I think when we first taught together, we got paired together for teaching, and that's kind of where it started. And then going through Panky Scholar together kind of solidified that a little bit better. And then, you know, we have different groups too that we chat in. So like, we have a study group that we chat in. I have a group of other female dentist that I went through the institute with that, you know, I chat in that, you know, with different things. So I think just having those friend groups or establishing your tribe of people that know what you're going through. You know, I have good friends in other areas too, but it's a little different when you're in dentistry and you're owning an office and you're kind of doing this every day. You need people that are living a similar experience to you that can kind of understand and speak to what you're going through.
Yeah. Charlie, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it was the, you know, the teaching together is one thing because you see sort of behind the curtain of what goes into putting this material together when you have participants in a class and how do you make all that work. And then, you know, you don't get the performance of the CE piece, right? Like you were talking about, Kirk, like you go to the lecture, someone's presenting, like that's the person. Right. Like that's the guy or that's the girl who's doing the thing that I saw. You know, there's like a celebrity piece to that. Or like when you're a kid and you see your teacher like out at a restaurant and you don't know what to do, you know, like who, there she is. So I think taking that piece out of it, you start to see, you know, you start to see the actual person and what they're struggling with. I think the more I teach and I'm sure Rachel feels the same thing, like people immediately put you on a pedestal when they see you standing at the front of the room. And I hate it. I hate that so much because no one ever lives up to that. It's unfair. And I think people do that. And then it's not just sort of the hero worship side of it. It's what it does to the person sitting in the audience, that I can never do what Charlie does, or I can never do what Rachel does. This is a conversation Chris and I have all the time. We just taught this treatment planning course at Panky for the first time last weekend. And it's there's a confidence issue, I think, in dentistry, because people don't have the support that they need to feel good about their decisions. And then they see people doing these quote unquote amazing things, and they're like, I can never do that. Right. And I think that's been sort of our mission with it, is how do we make, like when we talked to Rachel and Chris and I talked together, how do we make this palatable for people? There's nothing special. I didn't come out of the womb doing dentistry. You know, like I didn't. It was a lot of hard work to get there. And it has been a journey along the way. And like Dr. Lockhart said, perfection is a poison, because it's impossible. And it would drive me crazy, especially now that things get, you know, the longer I practice, the more complicated the cases get. And then you're the person in your community that like has to fix these problems, and everything's a compromise. Like there is no perfect like four veneer case where the tissue's perfect and the patient's healthy and like everything's exactly where it's supposed to be. No, I've got implants from the last 3 decades that I have to figure out, and I've got to build something back there so this person can function. I'm never going to get ideal symmetry, and like it's not going to happen. Right. And when my expectation is unrealistic, like that's killer. So it's setting that expectation that, hey, excellence is our goal. That's what we're striving for every single time. And sometimes like great has to be good enough so that everyone can move on and be happy, because the patient's happy. I mean, in most of these cases, the patient's happy and we're not, you know, that's what makes it difficult, I think. So the support that we're getting from the text group is, hey, this looks great. You should be proud of yourself. And if you're looking for feedback, here's feedback on something different that you could do that might help you. But it's always framed around, what did you what was your goal? What did you do right here? Right?
Yeah. I think it's either ironic or serendipitous. We're actually recording this on Friday, October 10th, which is World Mental Health Day. And while I'm not a mental health expert, I do know it's crazy important. I don't even claim to understand anything about it, but it's a very important topic in the world and in dentistry. And I'd love for you guys to share your thoughts on this and maybe throw this in there too. I'm 55. You guys don't have to share your age, because I think you're considerably younger, but like, is this generational? And then how much is social? And I'll weave one story into it. My son is a senior in high school, and he just asked his girlfriend to homecoming last night, and she said yes, and she's awesome. And there's so much pressure for these kids to outwardly tell a story digitally. Like, he's like, Dad, you don't understand our generation. I'm like, do you feel that pressure? You have to like post a story? And she's great. But like, I don't think you'll ever understand like how we have to communicate with the world. So I just threw you a whole bunch of stuff, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. And maybe Rachel, you go first. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting thought. So, I just turned 40, actually, so I'll share my age too. So I'm a millennial, and it's kind of an interesting, like, where we fall. Like, most of us growing up didn't have that social media pressure until probably about, like, dental school, after dental school, that type of thing. I think it definitely has affected it. You know, I work with some of the dental students at Creighton sometimes, and just seeing them come out of school and following these influencers and wanting to do, I'm going to do all in four, I'm going to do all these veneer cases, and just having these high expectations and almost trying to run before you can walk. And that's not fair to them, to try to live up to the expectations of somebody being out 20 years and them just getting out now. So I feel like it's a lot more, you know, in your face. Before, maybe you had to go to a conference or you had to seek it out, or you knew, you know, I'm going to go listen to this great person. But now you just open up your phone and start scrolling and you're just seeing all these cases. And with that too, you're seeing their highlight reel. You're not seeing their everyday, you know, people are cherry picking what they're putting on Instagram. And even after that story is posted, you don't know if that dentistry lasted a long time. You don't know what it looked like 2 months later. And we all know that. But I think, again, just the constant seeing it every day, we tend to forget. So it's just kind of a good reminder to step back sometimes and hear people, you know, like Charlie say, hey, you know, not everything I do is great. There are some compromises. And just acknowledging that as a profession, just so that way younger generations know, you know, we've had our struggles too.
Yeah. Charlie, your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I'll speak to that sort of social piece first, I guess. Yeah. Chris and I did a photography presentation in Texas for Southwest Dental Conference a couple of weeks ago. And, We talk about this, but when anyone stands in the front of the room and presents on a topic, immediately that's all they do in their practice. Like everyone in the audience just assumes, oh, Charlie presented on veneers. He only does veneers. Like that's the immediate story. So we had a 3-hour lecture in the morning on photography, and we got about halfway through, and you know, we're showing cases and how to take pictures of them and so forth. And Chris always makes it a point to do this. He says, how many of these do you think come through our practices every month or every year, whatever it is. I probably do 2 a month, right? And if I have to do more than that, it's exhausting because it's so much planning for these larger cases. And there was a collective sigh in the room because everyone assumed this is all I do all the time.
Right.
And that's the expectation when you see it on your phone and you're scrolling that, oh my God, this is all that person does all day. Why can't I do veneers all day? I'm like, that's not real. Like, right. That's not reality. That's not how, you know, these practices work. And like Rachel said, these are highlight clips and we never get a real look into the story unless you have, you know, personal interactions with these people, but that's not the intention.
Yeah.
And I think the second piece of that, I think is the effect on mental health of everyone involved, right? The pressure on the posting person's end, like your son was talking about, that I have to share my life digitally. And if I'm not sharing something great, like no one cares. So there's emotion tied to that piece. And then everyone seeing it just assumes that they're not good enough. I mean, it's awful. It's an awful situation to be put in. And that was kind of why Rachel and I want to talk about it. It's like we got enough pressure on ourselves as high achievers in dentistry, because most of us are high achievers.
Yeah.
That the work that we're doing, we're so hypercritical of.
Yeah.
And then we have a story that's getting told digitally every single day, every single break, every single time we pick up our phone, that everyone else is better than me.
Right.
And it's just not true. It's just not true. Yeah. And I hate that for, you know, I'm going to say younger generation, but it affects me too. Right. When I look at that, I'm like, man, I want to do that. And then I have to rewind and be like, I can do that.
Yeah.
But the immediate thought is always negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. So now I don't feel alone. Like I'm older, so I don't care anymore. My filter is going away, but like, you're right. You both said the word highlight, you know, and it's so true. It's like, you know, I see all these, like even in spouses, like this husband will come home and he cooks a meal and then he cuts all these flowers and then he lays out all of these cards that he's prepared for. My wife's birthday is this month, like all these cards. And then he gets all these photos framed. And then, you know, like he cooks the perfect meal and it, like a perfect, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I could never
do that. Like, I just feel like a terrible husband. And I joke, I'm like, you know what we should have? We should have a real day. Like, I love my wife. She's amazing. 26 years. But we can get going like, like I'd love to have like a fight in the kitchen and go, oh, you're getting crazy now. Wait, hold on. Say that thing that you just said. Let me get a video of that and then share that to the rest of the world and go, keeping it real. We had a good one this morning, you know?
Yes.
But nobody ever posts their fights. Nobody ever posts their failures or their screw ups. We're only seeing the best. And I think that's what I worry about that a lot in that whole process. I do want to ask you guys, this is another topic that comes up that's so important that you guys have found a good, again, I don't have a better word, countermeasure. Like, I hear this from dentists all the time. The isolation factor is huge. Being an entrepreneur is lonely. Now, I'm not a mom, but like I talk to young female dentists and they will stop me and they'll go, are you a mom? I go, no, I wouldn't. That looks so, and they're like, don't even try to give me advice on like what I should be. I'm like, absolutely, I'll be quiet now. So like, so that's one piece. Being a business owner, being a dentist is lonely, you know, trying to do what you're doing. Speak to the isolation factor. How real is that?
Being 100%. A dentist. Yeah. 100%. I mean, okay. I think as a mom, as a business owner and a dentist, I feel that every day. And I'm sure, like, again, I can't speak for Charlie as a dad or you as a dad, but again, you talk about the highlight reel and like not living up to that. Like, I feel that like in my kids, like I see these people setting up this elaborate, like first day of school, like breakfast and all this stuff. I'm like, here's some clothes. Here's a poster board. Like, I got to get to work, you know, here we go. Or like not spending enough time with them or not being the mom at the class party. And then I come to work and I see other people like running their businesses. And I'm like, am I giving my team enough? Am I giving my patients enough? Like some days it just feels like I'm constantly letting everybody down and I'm not worthy of the positions that I hold. But then you take a step back and you think about like all of those things are a full-time job within themselves. Like being a mom, being a business owner, being a dentist, like those are three different jobs, let alone throw in being like a wife and a mom and a friend and an educator. And so it can be really, really overwhelming. And a book that actually comes to mind, and I hope this is the right one, is Jim Collins, Good to Great.
Yeah.
And that was something, you know, I read it being like, yes, like I'm good and I want to be great. And he says something in there just basically about being the best version of yourself. Like no one's in the exact same situation as you. So, I mean, yes, I'm going to compare myself to all these great dentists and I want to try to do that. But is this other person have five kids? Are they running them to carpool in the evenings? Are they running a business? Like they're in a different circumstance than I am. So can I be, you know, the best mom, the best dentist, the best business owner in my circumstance? And I think that goes back to excellence versus perfection. I'm not going to do any of those things, you know, quote unquote perfect, but I can do them to the best of my ability. I can find small moments with my kids where we do something special. I can find that moment with my patient where I connect with them. So again, reminding myself of that was a little freeing, realizing like, I don't have to be somebody else. I'm never going to be able to do the same dentistry as like somebody else. That's all they do all day. Cause I have all these different hats.
Yeah. Charlie, your thoughts.
Yeah. I have no idea how Rachel does what she does. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, I think how difficult it is with my wife and I, we're both working, we're in the same practice, and we only have two kids and they're together, like they're at the same school and trying to manage that schedule. And then I think about Rachel's life and I'm like, Rachel, if one of your children disappeared, how long would it take you to figure that out? Because it has to be just absolute chaos at your house. And yet she does all these things. It makes no sense. And we do, you know, we do check her sometimes. She was like, I want to do an Iron Man. And we're like, no, you can't do that right now. You got to focus for a second. But I think it's all of those things. I have no idea how the women in our lives manage all of these things. And then you add on, practice owner, which is a different job than dentist, which is a different job than mom, and then a different job than a wife. I mean, there's so many hats. You know, I get to be a dad and a practice owner and those things, but it's a different role. And that's right. The reality of that. So again, I think managing the expectations for me is important in what do I expect of myself? And then Rachel was talking about books. That's one of the things that happens a lot in the text group is, what are you guys reading? What's helpful? And Rachel, I think, is the one that told us to read The Gap and the Gain, which I really, really hit home with me because of this comparison issue. Yeah. And if you haven't read that, it's excellent. It's an easy read, but the whole point is, are you living in the gap, which is the area that you haven't achieved, right? So if I get 95% of the way to my goal, my tendency is to focus on the 5% that I didn't get and not the 95% that I achieved. And that was a huge reframe for me to be like, you need to compare yourself to yourself.
Right.
What was I doing 10 years ago? What was I doing 5 years ago? Am I better than that person? Because I can't compare myself to Chris or to Rachel or vice versa, because we're in very different circumstances. Our learning's different. Our families are different. Our practices are different. All of those things that's an unfair comparison for any of us to make. So it goes obviously out to social media and the people that we see lecture and all of those things. That if I'm not comparing myself to myself, then I'm making an unfair comparison, and that affects my mental health.
Yeah.
And I think as I've gotten older, that's been where my focus has been. Like, hey, am I a better dentist? Am I a better dad? Am I a better husband than I was last year or the year before or the years prior? And if not, then why?
Right.
And if so, then I feel good, and now I can keep pushing forward. That's the comparison I feel like that we should be making. It has to be to ourselves, not to other people.
Yeah, that's an amazing book. Yep. And I highly recommend everybody read that. That's so good that you made them read that, Rachel. They should. I got to go back and read it myself. And I also want to ask you guys, you know, God created us as like relational beings, and it's so really important. And I think as we go through all of these iterations of what we're doing, we kind of lose touch. You guys have done a great job of getting away from your lives to be in a group that's like-minded. Now, I'll tell you why I'm asking this. A lot of times I spend talking to young dentists. I'm like, you got to go to Panky. They're like, why would I do that? I'm like, I don't really want to learn. I'm like, it is not about the learning. It is, you're going to be around other people. You know, you're going to be around other people that are very, and you do, I believe strongly, you have to get away from your life. You've got to unplug, like not excessively, but you got to take periodic unplug from, because your family and your life will take every minute of your life that you just let without intention. Does that make sense? So that's one piece of it. How important is it to get away and get in a group? And number two is, seems like you guys have navigated this. This is what young dentists tell me. Well, how do I tell my spouse? We have three little ones. We have no time. I want to go to Panky. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get that question all the time. I can't answer that. So I just want to give it to you. Like, speak to those two concepts.
I mean, me personally, it sounds very dramatic, but going to the Panky Institute changed my life. At the time, I was in like a big DSO practice, which just wasn't the right fit for me. I was seeing more patients a day than I wanted to. And I was kind of to the point of like, if this is what dentistry is like, I don't know if I want to be a dentist. You know, I have kids, maybe I'll just stay home with them. But I think going there and finding those connections with people, again, knowing that you're not alone. And also my dentistry is getting better. Things are getting more predictable. Patients are happier with results because they know what to expect. And I think that was hard at first. So, you know, God bless my husband, and he started his ortho residency. And that was the same time that I decided that I want to go to Panky too. So while he's in the middle of his residency, I'm deciding to go down to Panky. And, you know, it was hard at first because he's, you know, residency is 24/7. You're busy all the time. We had probably two or three kids at that time. And it was hard on him with me being away, and he was supportive, but you know, we had those moments of like, okay, like, is this really worth it? And I think a big turning point for him and even me was just realizing, you know, part of my core values, and something that I I love is connection and education. And that makes me feel more me. I'm a better mom when I'm home. I'm a better wife and a better communicator. So having that conversation with him and having us be aware of our core values and him knowing how important that was to who I am as a human being.
Yeah, so well said. Charlie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't do much better than that. you know, I would agree with Rachel. There's been no other group or CE or experience that I've had in dentistry in my life that's had more impact than the Pankey Institute has had, period. Like, plain and simple. And it's not strictly about the education. I think the things that Pankey teaches from a predictability standpoint are making our lives easier in the dental chair. But the things I learned about practice philosophy, what kind of practice do I want to have? What does that look like? How can I achieve those goals? I don't think that's being taught anywhere else. That's the only place that you're getting that type of education. And those are the questions that especially younger dentists need to be asking if they're not asking it yet. So the third piece for me is that the people that I've met, the things that I've learned, the study clubs, the courses, like, yes, I'm a better dentist. Yes, I'm a better practice owner. But more importantly, I'm a better dad. I'm a better husband. I'm a better friend. Because of the things I learned about myself, what are my values? What do I need to feel joy and fulfillment? I learned that stuff from Pankey and the people I met at Pankey, period. So my wife benefits from me being away when I go to Pankey because I'm a better person when I come back. I'm a better dentist. I'm happier. Awesome. I'm more successful financially, personally, relationally, because of that institute and the people, right? I call Rachel all the time, but I can call anyone in that community and get the support that I want. And I don't think you get that at that level anywhere else, period.
Yeah.
It's funny, just to speak to that real quick. I think actually the first time Charlie and I spoke, I never had met him before, but I knew he was married to another dentist and I met Melody in passing. So I sent him an email just saying, hey, you're married to a dentist. I'm married to a dentist. We're trying to figure out like what practice looks like. You know, do you have any advice for me? And he jumped on a Zoom call with him and Melody, with Dan and I. That's and we didn't awesome. Really even know each other. Like, that was actually the first time that we probably met was on that Zoom call.
Yes, I forgot. You're absolutely right. Like, I remember that conversation.
Yeah.
They were like, should we work together? We're married. He's a specialist and blah, blah. And I'm like, it's working. It's working for us if you want to do it. And yes, I think you're right. That was our first interaction.
But again, to speak to that Pankey connection, like, I could do that with anybody there. You know, just pick up the phone or call or send an email. And like you did, you just jumped on the call and you and Melody gave us some great advice.
Yeah. I love this. This is so good. I have so many other questions. So like, we got to do a follow-up episode on this, on like 12 other components of this. And I know I can't keep you guys all day, but this is such a powerful conversation. I would love for both of you to give us some final thoughts or final words when it comes to self-talk and this journey that you've both been on. And Rachel, you go first.
I think the biggest thing, I mean, it's a journey. And that's something that Charlie's told me several times, like, it's a journey and you're just in a different part of your journey than I am. And again, just going back to knowing that, you know, you're not your thoughts, you know, telling yourself you're brave, you're courageous, you got this. And then building a network of people that can also tell you that. Because it's one thing to tell yourself that, but then to have other people believe in you too, that's a whole other superpower that's just going to unleash great potential.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think about a friend of ours, Mary Osborne, who's a practice coach on the West Coast. And she has this thing she talked to the faculty at Pankey about, this concept of the fellow traveler. And she was using it to describe interactions between faculty members and participants in these classes, that we don't stand at the front of the room as experts, right? No, that's not really how we teach. That's not the relationship that we have. That's not the community that we have. But if we can stand with someone who's at a different part of their journey and think of them as a fellow traveler along the same path, then that's a different relationship than an expert and you know, an underling, if you will. And I think about that all the time when that sort of creeps into my head that, you know, whether I'm speaking to a participant or I'm looking up to someone who's doing things that I aspire to, that, you know, we're all on that path if we want to be as excellent as possible. And I think what we have, Rachel and I and Chris and the Panky community, is that everyone on that path has got a hold of somebody else's hand and is pulling them up with them, right? And that's really, to us, the difference. So that, you know, if someone starts to lag behind or that self-talk starts to get to them, there's someone pulling them up and telling them that it's all good.
So good. You guys, I have loved this. This is so fantastic. And Rachel, great job, man. It's so nice to finally meet you and get you on the podcast. And you're kind of painted in a corner now. Now you got to come back as a regular guest of Charlie's. What's really cool about this is you meet one person, then they bring another friend, then they bring another, and you're like, oh my gosh, these people are so cool. And it's just one of the many things I love about dentistry. But thank you guys for both being on. I really appreciate it. So
thanks, Kirk.
Awesome.
Thank you. Stick
around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you did, please do us a favor, hit the share button, share this with your friends. Dentistry is an amazing profession, but a lot of these things that Charlie and Rachel talked about are very real. And I want you to know you're not alone. So there's some great people out there. And if you haven't found them, I'm telling you, they are out there. You just got to go and find them. And I'm going to volunteer Charlie and Rachel for this. If you have questions, just reach out to them. I promise you they'll reach back to you and help you every step of the way. And again, that's one of the coolest things about this great profession. So again, I hope you guys enjoyed that today. Keep sending suggestions for things you guys want to see. We're going to keep bringing it. With over 900 episodes and 100,000 unique listeners, I don't know how this is working. I don't even care. It's going to be so much fun. We got so much more to bring you. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it, so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.